Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. Just heard a little from Aaron Rodgers just there. And, you know, those Pat McAfee interviews are always fun. And he's talking about something, you know, in that clip you heard the team's playing with too much anger and not enough fun. And you got to go out there and be loose. And, you know, the power of positivity. I think there was a quote. The power of positivity is a snowball that can become an avalanche. And, you know, it sounds a little hippy-dippy when it comes from the ayahuasca kid. I understand that, but I've kind of been saying the same thing. I think football is like that. And he talked about in the interview a bunch of different seasons that, you know, there's obviously the famous relax season where they started off poorly and turned it around. There's been other seasons where he has gotten the Green Bay Packers hot, obviously not the New York Jets, but the Green Bay Packers. He even mentioned the last year in Green Bay where they got off to a miserable start, including losing a game to the New York Giants in London, and he hurt his thumb in that game. And then, if you remember, he's not wrong. At the end of the year, they were a team that people were afraid to play in the postseason. They were trending in the right direction. They had won 5 games in a row. They got a little lucky in a Miami game where I think Tua made a inexplicable decision, or he got hurt again, or I forget what it was, but I remember them getting lucky against the Dolphins, and they were on fire. And I remember the conversation very well leading into that last week of the season against Detroit, that they were a team in the NFC that could make a run from a lower seed. They were going to sneak in as the final team. And they could be dangerous with Aaron Rodgers on a hot team. Now, they ended up losing that game to Detroit, and he didn't play well. But I do believe that you could see a run in this team. It's hard to fathom inside this AFC while you watch what the Ravens have become. You know, they just got beat by the Steelers, so there goes a tiebreaker with them if you need it. You know, there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. The Bills have already beaten them. So it seems unlikely, but I have to admit, he's not wrong, and he's picking a good week to do it, because honestly, if they go out and they beat New England, they've got to start, you know, believing in each other. And I thought, like an idiot, I guess, that he could come in here, and you saw it in the Hard Knocks a year ago, how the team just rallied around him and believed in him. And watching him practice, they were just like, gee, what we could be now with Aaron Rodgers. And I thought Garrett Wilson would really buy into that and take a huge leap and work with him. And instead, it's just been awful. And he's been worse. And now they've added Davante Adams, and hopefully that relationship can get back to where it was. They've added Hassan Reddick, and so maybe you could start getting after the quarterback a little bit better. They should be able to figure out a way to win this week. And they do have enough talent to go on the improbable run. It seems like probably too much for me for a team that hasn't shown me any ability to do so. But, I mean, I respect Aaron Rodgers, and he's talking about things. He's taking a lot of the blame on himself. He's taking a lot of the responsibility. I think he's trying to be a leader for this team. I do. I'm not as down on Aaron Rodgers at the moment as I was after the Denver game where he was terrible. After the Bills game, he didn't play well at all. Like, he was better over the last couple weeks, and I think he's trying to lead this team as best he can, but for whatever reason, this Jet group, and again, I'm sorry, firing the head coach was I said it then, I'll say it now, you know, I don't think he was a very good head coach, but it doesn't work in the NFL. There is literally no example of firing a head coach and then building on it. Like, it typically means you're a terrible football team and there is no return. Now, I know very seldom this early in the season and very seldom with a talented team like the Jets, and they are talented. But right now, they're going to try and rely on this, you know, positivity theme, and Aaron Rodgers is going to try to relax them a little bit. And it all comes down to him executing and this offense executing. He also said something in the interview where he said this team has been a defensive franchise for a long time. And we hear Bill Belichick talk about this team dating back to when he was the coordinator, defensive. And Rex Ryan has been popular screaming about it, being a damn Jet and having some, you know, self-pride in being a Jet and all the yelling he's done. And obviously they were a defensive team under Rex Ryan. It's true. This team has been, I mean, think of all the different coaches they've had. Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles, Robert Saleh, all defensive coordinators. This team has been a defensive-themed team for a long time. And it is time that Aaron Rodgers in this offense goes out and wins games. That's not an excuse for what happened in the second half of this Pittsburgh game and how this defense was run on. It's not an excuse for what happened the first game of the season against San Francisco when you felt like, wow, well, hey, they're the best roster in football. They've been struggling a lot over the last few weeks and lost to Kansas City this week. And didn't look like a juggernaut that, you know, Kansas City had no way to stop the run. I mean, this defense has not been as good as you would hoped it would be. And I'm not saying this is an excuse or it's okay for the defense to not be as good as we all hoped it would be. And maybe Hassan Reddick can help. But, yeah, when you get Aaron Rodgers, you have Devontae Adams, you have Breece Hall, you have Garrett Wilson, you revamp this offensive line. The offense needs to go out there and win games. Flat out win games. There's no excuse they didn't win the Bronco game. There's no excuse they didn't win the Bills game. They should go out and win the football game. They beat New England, and they'll probably be able to do it again. But it's from that point on, the offense has got to be good enough to go out there and win games even when the defense isn't there for them. That's why you brought in Aaron Rodgers. That's the power of positivity. That's the snowball turned into an avalanche that they're looking for. Actual offensive play. Touchdowns, sustained offense. Even they played well in the first half of this Pittsburgh game and played well at times. They scored 15 points and then didn't do anything the entire second half. That can't happen. That can't happen. They've got Aaron Rodgers has got to find a way to get this team moving in the right direction offensively and start putting up 30 points and winning games. And I do believe the momentum and the feel of this team can change rather quickly. They're talented enough. It's just what kind of has the hole they've already dug too big for them? 888-808-1019. Let's take Stu real quick on the Yankees. We will get to your football calls there in a second. I don't want to leave Stu hanging on too long. What's up, Stu?
Nothing much. You're right. Judge will break out. And if they have Stanton and Soto follow suit, it should be a pretty good series.
Let's hope.
I would say six games.
Six games. Yankees in six?
Mm-hmm, yes.
All right. Let's hope. I'm saving mine for Friday as we get hyped up for that series. And I am hyped. I mean, this is literally a dream matchup. Let's be honest. We would have loved the Subway Series here. Don't get me wrong. That would have been awesome. I would have been all about it. It would have been a lot of fun. I'm not someone who would have been any more devastated. I know people don't believe this. If the Dodgers beat the Yankees or the Mets beat the Yankees, it would have felt exactly the same to me. I don't care. I would have come in here. I would have shook Fliegelman's hand, said congratulations. I would have texted Evan, my guy, and said, Evan, congratulations, great win. And I would have moved on. I'd be just as upset if the Dodgers beat. I wouldn't have as many people to congratulate. And yeah, we'd have to hear it. I don't care. I don't care about that. I really don't. So it would have been fun here, but I mean, Dodgers, Yankees, the super team, all the money they spent in the offseason, Ohtani, they beat us out for Yamamoto. I hated them that night. I hated them the night we found out they got Yamamoto. I was all in on the Yamamoto offseason. Remember that? I hated, I mean, this is the matchup you want. This is as sexy a World Series as you can have, and I'm looking forward to it. Eddie and Robin. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, what's going, Christopher?
What's up?
Happening?
Nothing.
Beginning of the season, you know, we heard all the Jet Super Bowl talk, and here they are week six or seven playing for the toilet bowl.
Yep.
Is there any scenario that you see that you would get rid of Douglas during the season?
No.
No matter how many losses they have, they lose this game coming up, you're not You're not.
What is firing the GM going to do?
They're pretty much done. Open up a job and get ready for next year.
No, I mean they don't. They could do that in the offseason. They've pretty much already built the team. Like it is. What is someone going to do in and change? Like the head coach, you could at least say changes the workings of the team, changes this, changes that. Like the GM, it makes no sense. No, so I do not see any circumstance where they fire Douglas mid-season. I think if they don't make the playoffs, he's going to get fired in the offseason. But I don't think there's anything that would make me want to fire Douglas mid-season. I think it would be completely useless.
Oh yeah, and one more for you. Sure. You know, you talk about the Yankees and the magical. What are you doing for the kids to make this a memorable moment in their lives for the Yankees if they win the World Series? You got any games booked? You got anything lined up?
No. I'm not going to I'm not buying any tickets for the prices they are right now.
Listen. You know, you crack on me and Brett, but me and Brett get you on the morning show.
Oh.
The morning show should make sure you get a couple of World Series tickets.
That'd be nice.
And you should be invited to Phil Simms' house
the
second week in November. You want to go to Phil Simms' house? My ex lives next door to Chris Simms Jr. over there in Greenwich.
Chris Simms. You mean Chris Simms? Or who's Chris Simms Jr.? Chris
Simms yeah. Is well, kid? I forgot the other kid's name. But yeah, I forget the other kid's name.
Why would I want to go to Phil Simms?
You want to go to Phil Simms' house for football the second week in November?
Why? Is there something going on the second week in November at Phil Simms' house?
Yeah, the whole morning crew was invited there for football Sunday.
I was unaware.
They didn't invite you again?
No, they didn't invite me. I was unaware. I didn't know they would go to Phil Simms' house. But, yeah, my dad loved Phil Simms. The first jersey I ever had, Yankee, Giant, whatever. The first jersey I ever had was a Phil Simms jersey. Love Phil Simms. No doubt. Would love to go to Phil Simms' house. But you play the cards you're dealt with. Right now I'm not a part of the morning show. I'm not invited to Phil Simms' house. I'll have to live with it. But, yeah. You and Brett get me on the morning show. Thank you very much. And if they have any Yankee World Series tickets, they can throw them my way. I'd be very appreciative. That'd be very nice of them. I don't expect to do that. But what I'm going to do with my son, the same thing I did the other night, Pinky, try and take over the world. I'm going to set up outside. I think the weather's been great. There's something about watching the game outside. I had a fire going. We'll make s'mores. We'll watch the Yankees play the Dodgers in the World Series. I'll let them stay up late and watch the game with me. And we'll remember it. Maybe I'll make another video with him in it and put it on social media. He's still asking me every day how many likes it's got. You know, I'll do stuff like that. I don't think I'm going to be able to take him to the game. The ticket prices are outrageous. I mean, they're just outrageous. It's $1,700 to get in the building. $2,000 to get a seat. So, I don't think I mean, we'll see what happens. But I don't think I'll be able to, but we'll have fun. We'll do what we did the other night. We had a great time in the backyard. We had a great time. And he's getting into it. He's really getting into it. So, it's fun. He cares more. Like, does he get into every pitch of every inning? No, he's still not there with me where every pitch of every inning, him and his brother will be throwing the football around or chasing each other or riding a bike for a second, or they'll be doing something other than watching the game for a part of it. But he'll celebrate at the big moments. If he hears me go crazy, he'll celebrate. He also repeats everything I say sometimes. Like and probably not the best thing I ever did, but I couldn't help but yell just how stupid Cleveland was when they pitched to Stanton. And that when Stanton hit that 2-1 home run, I didn't even celebrate it. I just kept going, oh my God, they're so stupid. They're stupid. And my son was like, yeah, they're stupid. I'm like, don't say that. It's not nice. I couldn't help but say it. Like, how do you do that? Jonathan in New Haven. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, C Mac.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, man. I have a little bit of a unique perspective on the football situation in New York right now because I grew up a Washington fan. I'm 47, so I remember when they were a kid, they were great. And even in the 90s, when they weren't, like, winning every Super Bowl like they were when I was a little kid, I never felt hopeless with the team, right? I was always like, God, they're having a down year, but they'll come back next year, whatever. Once Snyder took over the team, everything changed. And I remember how everything changed, because the thing that they brought in Schottenheimer, they brought Joe Gibbs back, Mike Shanahan, it didn't matter who they, you know, Dana Stubblefield, like, you can't buy your way out of bad culture, and good coaching can't overcome bad culture. And I see the same thing happening with the Giants for sure, and the Jets. And I feel bad because I listen to the fan, I watch the games, and I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great Hall of Fame quarterback. Aaron Rodgers can't save this team. They can trade for Devontae. And I understand you're a Jets fan. You want to have hope. You want to, you know, you want to see good players, but that culture finds a way to creep in to the good players you get and the money you spend and the coaches you bring in. You know, Woody Johnson, every coach he's hired except for Al Groh, but I don't, let's not get into Al Groh, has had a losing record since they've been here. Every single coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unless something changes from the top down with both organizations. Now, I know the Mariners aren't going anywhere with the Giants. Probably Woody Johnson isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, but I mean,
they
got to
find another way.
I mean, I hear you, but one, the Woody Johnson and Rex Ryan-led Jets went to back-to-back AFC championship games. The Giants under this ownership group have won two Super Bowls in the last 15 or so years. Like, it's not like the under Snyder, your Washington Redskins did absolutely nothing. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like, what needs to change? Just Woody Johnson needs to be gone? So the coach can change, GM can change, the players can all change. I know this is the Joe Beningo thing. You can change the uniforms, you could change the ownership, right. It doesn't matter. The results will stay the same. Like, so what's your, how do you change culture?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Just firing Woody Johnson? Because Woody Johnson was gone. His brother ran the team for a while. That didn't go that well. And you're saying now Mara breeds bad culture and you need to get rid of John Mara when John Mara has won Super Bowls? I don't know. I honestly don't know. It sounds nice. Bad culture infects the team. Makes sense. And I'm not even saying you're wrong that they have bad culture. But the idea that, you know, until they change the culture, well, how do you... You could change the coach, you could change the players. How do you... As long as you have the culture, well, how do you... What breeds the culture? Just having Woody Johnson as the owner of the team? So if he hired the right coach and brought in the right players, they couldn't be successful because he's the owner? Like, what's the culture? He hired a bad coach in Robert Saleh. He hired a bad coach in Todd Bowles. Like, that's the problem. Hire good people. Now, they have talent. And for whatever reason, they've been unsuccessful. I think they have a bad offensive coordinator. They have a bad offensive line the last few weeks. I don't know exactly what it is. But that's just an easy thing to say. Yeah, it's the culture. Well, what's the culture and how do you fix it? Like, I don't know. Sean in Rockland, what's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
They were bringing up that Fernando mania for the Met fans. Fernando stole the Cy Young from Tom Seaver. Look at some of the years they had. It was the strike season. It was the split season. The Reds actually won the most games that year in the two halves, and they didn't make the playoffs.
I know that's the most fascinating part of the 81 series season is that the Reds couldn't win that division. Weird year, obviously 81 with the two separate seasons, but that was the story of that year, along with the strike or lockout. I think it was a strike. I forget which one it was, but the split seasons. And Fernando was unbelievable. And I'm just saying now, yes, I read it somewhere and I must have forgotten it, but he was part of the Spanish broadcast. It was announced earlier this year that he was going to leave to focus on his health. But I'm reading now there was some optimism that he was going to return next year. But, you know, obviously he won't be. As if you haven't heard, Fernando Valenzuela passed away last night at the age of 63. Very sad for Dodger fans, very sad for baseball fans. A guy who came in and just took the league by storm. I mean, that was real. Fernando Mania. I obviously did not live through it, but I have seen I've seen a documentary that was, I don't know if it was, I think, yeah, 30 for 30 did one on Fernando Mania. Yeah, so I think I saw the documentary on it. I've seen some different things on it. He won the Cy Young and Rookie of the Year, just came up and took the league by storm. That's obviously, and it's coincidental to what's happening right now, is because it's the last time the Yankees and Dodgers have faced off in the World Series. It was 1981, that same year. And I would have assumed, if healthy, that he would have been part of the festivities. And unfortunately, he will be now, as I'm sure they're going to honor him at some point this series, probably right at the start. Alan Queens, what's up, Al?
Yeah, how's it going, Chris?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Very sad. Yeah, I'm very sad about it.
Yeah,
well,
very sad news.
It reminds me about, I don't know if you know, about 78, about Junior Gilliam. He was the coach on the Dodgers. He passed away before the series. And, you know, they dedicated the World Series in 78 to Junior Gilliam. And that was also pretty sad. So
yeah, I thought that was pretty ironic. I do not remember that.
Yeah, it was very ironic that now you have another Dodger who passed away right before the Yankees play them. I was all in this season. I went to 39 games, and I've been a fan since 66. Been ups and downs, but this season has been so special. And you made the point, I think, that I totally agree with, which is why I think the Yankees will win, is that with only one left-hander on the team, I think the Yankees will definitely take advantage of that. And yeah. I anticipate I'm going to the three games next week, and I've never seen a celebration on the field. I saw the division this year, but I really want to see a big celebration on the field. And I really do think I'm going to get it this year. And
I hope you do.
It's just been a hell of a season. I know you say you're going to make your prediction a bit later in the week, but I really hope that the Yankees could take it in five. I really do.
Yeah, listen, they've been so good on the road this year. They've been the best road team in baseball. I don't think, and baseball is different in this way. Like, I don't think it's something where they better win it in five. There are, you know, you get into an NBA, you get into a series, and you're like, oh, you better not let it get back to their building in game six. Like, I don't feel that way about this Yankee team. I don't feel this way right now. It's not like if they don't win it in five, good luck heading back to LA. They can win a game in LA. I'm not. That's not something that I'm focused on. That better, you know, do it at Yankee Stadium, although that would be great, of course. I hope they do it in four at Yankee Stadium. But it's not like, you know, because there's that perception a lot with these series, like, oh, don't let it get, if the Yankees are going to win, it's going to be in five. I don't see it that way. They could easily win in six or seven. I don't think that building is going to be something. And you mentioned the lefty. Yeah, Banda is the only lefty. He's been very good. Don't get me wrong. The bullpen has been good. But no left-handed starting pitching does make me feel better. I mean, that would have been the one difference facing the Mets. Now, I know Manaea had been kind of on fumes there. Certainly game six he was. This would have been a prolonged rest leading into the World Series, so he probably would have been better. You could have pitched him even later in the series and really given him a bunch of rest. But the amount of left-handed starters, they could have thrown Peterson, Manaea, Quintana. You know, there was an issue for the New York Yankees. They've got one reliever. That's it. So the Yankees don't have to worry about so much. It helps in many ways. One, they just struggle against left-handed pitching. Two, they don't have to worry about stacking their lineup as balanced as they did against Cleveland in fear of setting up lanes for left-handed relievers. So, I mean, they've got, it is an advantage that the Dodgers don't have any more than just Banda as far as left-handed pitching. There's no question that helps the Yankees. To what extent, we'll find out. But certainly, it's not even so much the, I guess it's the bullpen too. They've really struggled against left-handed starters. And right now, you look at the starting pitching on this team. I Flaherty's had his moments. I'm not overly afraid of Jack Flaherty. You've got Yamamoto, who again has had his moments and pitched well at Yankee Stadium this year, but the lineup is completely different now than it was back then. And I haven't felt like he's looked dominant in this postseason by any stretch. And then you get into the bullpen, you get into, you know, Buehler, who hasn't pitched well in this postseason. And, you know, I think, honestly, I expect one of the key guys in this series for me is going to be Carlos Rodon. Because I expect Cole to be good. Let's be fair, though. As much as I'll praise Cole and call him an ace, he won the one game he had to win, which was Game 4 against the Royals. That was, you did not want to see Game 5 with either with probably Carlos Rodon back on the mound, although Rodon's pitched fairly well since. But that would have been a scary Game 5 off of his Game 2 performance against Reagans, who's been their best pitcher and a Cy Young candidate this year. Game 5, Yankee Stadium, left-handed pitcher Reagans against Rodon. Game 5, Yankee Stadium. That would have scared the hell out of me that game. So the one game Cole has had to win was Game 4, and he pitched great. Game 1 of that series, eh. And he really didn't pitch that well in his game against Cleveland. So in 3 starts, he's been excellent in 1, shaky in 2, and the other 2. So I expect him to pitch well. It is another long layoff. And I think there's a conversation we had about how to use Cole. And which games do you pitch him in? 1, 4, do you go short rest in 4, setting up an opportunity to go short rest again in 7? I mean, he makes a lot of money. He's the ace of the staff. He hasn't pitched that much this year because of the elbow thing. So it's not like he's got a ton of innings under his belt. He shouldn't be at the end of his rope at all. He should have his legs underneath him. He should have some arm strength. You know, we saw Andy Pettit, AJ Burnett, and CC Sabathia all go on short rest in the 2009 World Series. I mean, it's plausible that you could do that and give him an opportunity to pitch 4 and 7 and push Luis Gil to Game 5. I would love to see that. We'll see if they do that, but I expect him to pitch well. He's still Gerrit Cole, and I do expect it. To me, they're going to need Carlos Rodon to get the same kind of swing and miss as he got. Now, it's not Kansas City Royals, and it's not the Cleveland Guardians. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's the World Series. They need Rodon to be good, because I honestly think you could make the argument about whose bullpen, which bullpen is, I think the you could make a very strong argument that the best bullpen, whichever bullpen performs the best, will win this series. But having said that, the amount of innings the starters give you is what gives the opportunity for the bullpen to be at its best. I don't know how deep Yamamoto can go into a game. I don't know how deep Flaherty can go into a game, and I certainly don't know how deep Buehler can go into a game. Like, I just, and they go to their bullpen so much, so quickly. Like, the Yankees have too, but they really try and get to that bullpen, and they'll throw a bullpen game in this series, 2 bullpen games in this series. To me, if Rodon can give you a 6-7 inning performance, I think that could be as valuable as anything else this series, because for the Yankee bullpen to be as good as it needs to be, you can't have Clay Holmes throw to everybody, you know, 3 games in a row. You can't have Weaver pitching, you know, 5-6 out saves multiple times in a row. You can't just constantly go to Canely, Weaver, Holmes, Cud. Like, these guys need to not be pitched as much to be effective and not be seen so much. Like, you can't throw them. You know, I do not want Ohtani to see any of these relievers 3-4 times a series. It's very difficult to get this guy out when he's seen you that much in a short span of time. Same thing with Mookie Betts. Same thing with Freeman. They are going to have to really figure out how to juggle this bullpen so that these guys don't get a good look at these relievers over and over again. And that means Cole going deep. That means Rodon going deep. That means better length out of Schmidt and Heel. Like, the length of the starter and the effectiveness of the bullpen is probably the 2 biggest factors in this series for me.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Waiting on some beautiful boy.
3:40. Mick Monagle here with you. Sorry, I was talking to Eddie Scazzeri there for a second. I just saw something that I'm a little confused by. I mean, Sam Darnold is on the short list of MVP candidates. The Vikings have done an incredible job here and had a great season, and Sam's been good. It's not like they're winning despite him. Now, is Matthew Stafford a better quarterback than Sam Darnold? He sure has proven to be over the course of his career, no doubt. And if I had to pick a quarterback to go win a game, right now I would take Matthew Stafford over Sam Darnold. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But I was surprised to read that while the Rams are looking to trade everybody, so I wasn't surprised to read that, Stafford's on the trading block. Cooper Kupp is now back from injury, and or at least given the designation. I don't know if there's like a couple weeks they have to bring him back, whatever the case may be. But he's going to be on the trading block, obviously. The Rams are breaking it down. But I was surprised to read that right now the rumors are the biggest name and the most connected team to Matthew Stafford would be the Minnesota Vikings. Again, it's Sam Darnold. I'm not trying to tell you he is Matthew Stafford. And obviously they have J.J. McCarthy waiting in the wings. It would make sense. They probably haven't invested a ton of money into Sam Darnold. It's someone you can replace. Still makes sense. Carry it under the cap. Have the young quarterback moving forward. Learn under Matthew Stafford, who probably the more veteran guy to get a real feel for. But this Minnesota team has played really well. And I mean, he's just done... Darnold's done a really nice job. I would be surprised. I don't know what it's going to take to get Matthew Stafford, but I could think of a couple other teams who are in position to win who might be better served and have a lesser option at quarterback than Sam Darnold at Minnesota. But that's the hot rumor at the moment. It'll be interesting where he goes because we all know what Matthew Stafford is and how good he is and where he took the Rams and where he could, you know, come in and clearly be a game-changing player and a franchise-changing player for a team with, you know, major aspirations to go and compete for a championship. But I would feel bad. Can you imagine? Like, a lot's happened in Darnold's career. One, he got brought onto the Jets and their culture, as the last caller mentioned it, and they just absolutely ruined him. And listen, he didn't play well. I'm not trying to tell you it's all about the Jets ruining him, but same as Zach Wilson. Not good enough. I don't think the Jets did him any favors. And the same for Sam Darnold. But can you imagine him finally sticking after going to Carolina, after going to San Francisco? He goes to the Vikings in what seemed to be maybe an early season start, but they're going to figure out a way to eventually go to J.J. McCarthy. He gets hurt. It's Sam's team. They start the year undefeated, one of the final two undefeated teams in the NFL. He's in the conversation for MVP, not just, you know, having a nice little season, in the conversation for MVP. And then at the trade deadline, they bring in Matthew Stafford to replace him. I mean, oh my goodness, this poor bastard. I don't even know, how would he be able to, what would you do? Like, what would you do if you were Sam Darnold and you're finally winning and you're playing well and you're throwing touchdown passes and you're, you know, beating everybody pretty much. And they're like, yeah, you know, you've done nice for us. Don't get us wrong. 5-1, we're feeling pretty good. But, you know, we got a chance to go get Matthew Stafford. So, like, that would suck. Poor Sammy Sprinkles. He's going to see, I mean, different kind of ghosts, but. That's just a brutal. That is a brutal assignment. How do you end up being the backup for that team? We'll see if it actually happens, but it should be interesting. The trade deadline, because they're obviously going to look to move Kupp, who's been, you know, a terrific wide receiver in this league for a couple of years, and obviously Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl winning quarterback. The Rams could shape the landscape of this NFL postseason. which would be very, very interesting because you don't see that a lot in trades. You don't see a lot of these big NFL trades that could change everything about what we expected from these postseason teams. And I don't think either one of our teams locally, I saw that Illuminor went on with Sal and BT earlier today and was going after Bill Belichick a little bit in response to some of the questions, defending his offensive line. And Azudu took over for Andrew Thomas and, you know, gave him some sacks early. I don't think he was god-awful, but he's not good enough for the New York Giants as they're looking elsewhere to try and bring in more offensive linemen. You want to talk about a reason why Shane and Dable don't deserve their job. And look, I get it. I don't know if it's the right thing to do either. I think Dable is probably a good head coach. I've seen a lot from him. I feel confident that he can be a good head coach. I think right now the quarterback is holding them back at levels we don't even understand. Like, we're so focused on the offensive line play. We're so focused on the time he's been given. And instead, you just look, like, he doesn't get the ball down the field. He doesn't score touchdowns. It's ridiculous. Like, you watch, like, the touchdown to A.J. Brown from Hurts in the game, it's exactly what you're talking about. Like, you can't tell me the Giants never get a one-on-one matchup like that. The Giants never have an opportunity. He's got a guy right in his face. He's about to get pounded. And he lays one out to the end zone for a touchdown. Like, we don't see that from Daniel Jones. We don't see him attacking down the field. We just don't see it. He's either incapable or unable to get the ball down the field and score points. It's just so nauseating watching it over and over and over again. I can't do it anymore. But having said that, so, I mean, I put a lot of the blame at the quarterback's feet. I do. I put a lot of the blame at the quarterback's feet. And I do believe this coach can coach offense, and I do believe he can be a head coach. But you want to talk about the GM and the job he's done. I think the last thing we should be focused on is what Bill Belichick said and what others have said about, oh, for a couple more bucks, you could have kept Saquon Barkley. Like, okay, great. We've seen Saquon Barkley be on this team. They didn't win with him. They didn't compete with him. He didn't help them score points either. Like, it's just, would they be better today with him? Of course. He's a great player. They wouldn't be winning. Instead of focusing on that mistake, how about the idea they took a 7th overall pick and brought in an offensive lineman who can't play, who isn't allowed to see the field when they're down lineman after lineman? That's a 7th-round pick 2 years ago who can't see the field, who isn't allowed to play. And I know they're upset with how he, you know, dealt with his injury and all the other crap. It doesn't matter. Evan Neal was the 7th overall pick in the NFL draft, and he can't play, forget right tackle. I mean, forget left tackle. He just can't hit the offensive line. They're falling apart. Andrew Thomas left and the entire line practically fell apart and had a miserable game. Azudu stinks. And the 7th overall pick isn't allowed to at least attempt to take over the role. Isn't in the running for it. They're out there scouring, you know, former draft picks who've, you know, been injured and you know, cut. Like, this is what they're looking for. Guys who aren't on a team somewhere right now. Instead of going to their 7th overall pick. You want to talk about a black mark against them. You want to talk about, you know, what really is going on. Forget former bad picks. That is Saquon Barkley 2nd overall. Forget former bad picks. That is Daniel Jones, 6th overall. Former regime's mistakes. I mean, at least the former regime gave us right now the best defensive player in the sport. At least the former regime gave us that left tackle that they're desperate to keep healthy, who they can keep healthy. Like, yeah, right now you're getting Drew Phillips has been nice. You're getting, you know, some surprise. You got Banks right now who, you know, isn't attempting to tackle the quarterback, is getting killed publicly for making business decisions. But, yeah, you know, some of the answers in the defensive backfield this year were decent draft picks, but, man, oh, man, you can't miss the way they missed with a seventh overall pick. You just can't. You can't draft an offensive lineman who can't see the field when there's multiple injuries. And you can't pay a quarterback who isn't any good a big contract where you're just waiting to get out from under it. Now, do I want to see Brian Daboll and Joe Shane get an opportunity to draft a quarterback? Yeah, that's why I wanted it last year. And that's why I don't think they're going to get fired, and I'll root for them to lose every stinking game this year because I want them to get that opportunity. And I'm not kidding. I'm already there. I was joking before, but I meant every word of it. When the Yankees are playing Monday night, I'm not going to pay attention to the Giants. Not. They haven't earned my focus. I'll watch the game on DVR then on Tuesday morning before I come in. Or, you know, I'll figure it out. Had a comment on the Giants. Like, I'll figure it out. But during the Yankee World Series game, you know, maybe they'll be on the background, but I can't justify taking a second of focus away from the Yankees in the World Series to focus on a team where I know what's going to happen. There's bad and there's worse. The bad situation that could happen Monday is they get their doors blown off. Daniel Jones, again, is terrible. We blame it on the offensive line. The defense gets run all over. Wilson puts on 30 points like he did against the Jets. The Giants get blown out in primetime. Daniel Jones again loses in primetime. And it's a ugly, hideous Giant performance that leaves us scratching our heads on where this franchise is. And that's the bad one. The worst one is they win the game. That's the worst case scenario. Best case is it's, you know, bad is it's ugly and they lose. Worse is they win. Because it will mean absolutely nothing to win this game. Nothing. Let's go to Mark in Manhattan. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, you know, I've called a few times and I respect you and everything. So I'm going to say this very briefly and with all due respect.
Yeah.
But I think that you are full of it, man. Every time you talk about the Giants and you talk about Saquon Barkley, just admit that you was wrong. Come on.
Wrong
on
what?
They made the wrong decision. You keep saying that the reason why it was the right decision to get rid of Barkley because he doesn't help them win. That's crazy and asinine. It's like you're talking for the company.
What are you
talking
about?
Man, just stop already.
Did they win with him?
You keep saying that.
Did they win with him?
No.
Did they beat the Eagles in any meaningful game? Did they beat the Eagles in any meaningful game ever with Saquon Barkley?
You know it's a three-phase game. You know that. Stop putting it on his shoulders like that was the wrong decision. That was the right decision to make. The wrong decision was to keep Daniel Jones. We all understand that.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Barkley, that was not the right decision.
No, letting once they already paid Daniel Jones, once that decision was made, putting Saquon Barkley back on this roster made no sense. The roster's not good enough. The Giants would be in the same position right now if they had Saquon Barkley. You could argue that keeping Saquon Barkley and not paying Daniel Jones back when that decision was made, I suppose that's a fair argument, but not paying him last year was 100% the right thing to do.
No.
Yes.
Come on. 100%. I know we're going to go back and forth, but come on, man. Yeah. Look at what the guy, and I know, I'm not trying to be one of these Giants fans and say, look how good he's doing with the Eagles.
He's doing great. He's good. He's a great player.
Well, like, come on. He was a good guy, man. Yo,
he's a great guy.
He was a good captain.
Yeah, we just saw the clip of him telling the coach, forget my 13 yards and my career high, go let the young kids play. He's a great leader. He did everything the Giants ever asked of him. He's a great person. He's a great player. He's talented. They leaned on him the 1 year they went to the postseason. Saquon Barkley's great. The Giants suck. And paying a running back that won't help you win. It's not his fault. The Giants aren't in a position or in a roster position where it makes sense or in any way, shape, or form to pay a running back the second contract 7 years in when every year, and it's not his fault, but wait for this year, he's going to get a high ankle sprain. He's already had a blown out knee.
It's
he
true.
Gets hurt
it's
all
true.
The time. It makes
it's
no
true.
Sense for the Giants. It makes,
so one more question.
It makes plenty of sense for the Eagles. Yeah.
So one more question.
Okay.
One more question and I'm done. One more question.
Okay.
One more question. Okay.
Okay.
Right. So
how many more questions?
Just one more.
Just one more.
Okay. Just one more. I got that 5 minutes ago. Just one more question.
Just one more question.
And I'm totally done. Okay?
Okay. All right?
So if that's everything you say is true, and I believe it's true, because I think we're all right, and I think that we're all, you know, probably wrong somewhere, and we all meet in the middle. But
okay.
If that was the case, when John Mara said he's going to go and have nightmares,
yes,
if he signed to the Eagles,
yes,
to me, that said everything. That means that he even knew it. So if the owner says it, and I'm not saying that he hasn't flubbed,
yeah,
I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
But if he even said that, come on.
No, I disagree.
Saying. Let's just say that it was talk.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
yeah,
all I got. That's
he,
all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I know. He also said a lot of things. I mean, he also said Pat Shurmur would be a head coach. He also said Joe Judge would be a head coach. I mean, I'm not trying to knock the owner right now. And I defended him when the crazies were at the door off of that comment. Because there were a ton of people who were like, how could you say that? How could you worry about jersey sales and the most popular player? He's the owner. Someone had to say it. It was a reasonable comment to say that he's our most popular player and it's going to suck to see him with Philadelphia. I don't agree with it. I had no problem with him leaving or going to Philadelphia. But the idea that the owner looked like a fool, which, again, a lot of people said, was ridiculous. That was a fair comment to make at the moment. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Giants stink. And if you think Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley would be winning right now, you're wrong. I saw Tracy run. He can run just fine. He's not Saquon Barkley. He's not that dynamic. But I've seen Saquon Barkley on this side of the football. I've seen Saquon Barkley go against the Eagles. The Giants don't win. It's not his fault. They don't win. And the running back position, unfortunately, is not a cornerstone of a roster. And that's where the Giants are. They need to build a roster. He is the luxury piece of an already built roster. And that's why he's in Philadelphia. And that's why Derrick Henry is in Baltimore. And that's why Christian McCaffrey is in San Francisco. Because they have great talented rosters with good offensive line and good defensive pass rushers and talented players and established head coaches. And that's why they can be successful. Although I wouldn't call Sirianni an established head coach. But you get my point. The Giants are terrible, and their roster doesn't constitute paying a running back in year 6 or 7 already off of a knee problem and a high ankle sprain twice a year. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't care if he ran for 200 yards, 300 yards. I've seen Boston Scott do it. I've seen Shady McCoy do it. I've seen Brian Westbrook do it. I've seen every single stinking running back between now and when Ron Dixon ran that kickoff back that the Eagles have kicked the crap out of the New York Giants. And I don't care that Saquon Barkley did it on Sunday. He's just another in a long list of Eagle players who've kicked the crap out of the Giants on a regular basis. And when he was with the Giants, the other running backs were doing it to the Giants. He wasn't ever doing it to Philadelphia. Like, it's not how it worked. So what do I care? And it wouldn't make them any better. It really wouldn't. They're not in a position to be made better by Saquon Barkley. The Eagles are, and that's why he's there.